Gospel of John, we've started chapter 6, and I'll just hit the beginning of that. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now, remember now, this is one of those, the one, of all of the signs or miracles that God did. And it says he did many miracles. And this is one that is recorded by all four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And because it is that, and each one of them, remember Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each look and give us a window. They're each looking through a window, and they're giving us an accounting of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ all the way to the cross, to the resurrection. And they're doing that. And they do it according to God's, whatever God is doing. What is Matthew doing to the king, and Mark doing as a servant, and Luke doing as the perfect man, and John as the perfect God? So John records, we're going to read, John records it from, he leaves stuff out. It isn't relevant. Not what he's after something. So you got to go, who's saying what and why? And you'll know. You have to answer the questions. Who's saying what? Where are they coming from? And what is the reason for them to say it? So that you understand. You say, well, there's a difference. There's plenty of differences. And they're good differences. And there's reasons for them. Now, so having said that, but the fullest account is in the Gospel of Mark, which you read. Now, keeping in mind, you just read in chapter 6 that going to go from Capernaum all the way over to Bethsaida, up in the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. And they're going to go. And they're going to go by their ship. And depending on, hard to get a map without my lot of effort, a map of the Sea of Galilee that would be that specific, but probably you're talking 3 miles plus or minus going from Capernaum to Bethsaida. So 3 miles. Now, having that in mind, and the crowd is very, very busy. Now, I'm going to go back, if I can, and fill in some pieces that will help give you a sense of what was happening. Over to the Gospel of Mark again, if you would. And in Mark chapter 6 and verse 30, the apostles have returned from a mission, an assignment, and they were reporting to him all of the things that took place that happened in the fulfillment of their assignment and their mission. And in the process, verse 31, he said unto them, come yourselves apart to a desert place. And desert, I'm not taking Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I'm running that, so what you don't see here, I might add a word or two to fill it in. A desert. Desert means uninhabited by humans. Desert. Little to no inhabitants. But we know this is April. It's the Passover is about to begin down in Jerusalem. And it's the green. And it will tell us, desert. It means uninhabitable, not many people, pasture, animals, etc. So the grass, we know, this desert place, is not many people are there in Bethsaida, not many people, and it's green grass. The grass is green. It's April. The grass is green. Hang on to that just so you have it. And they departed, verse 32, into a desert place by ship privately. Now, as they're going, they get aboard their little ship there, and they're going to go from Capernaum over to Bethsaida. And in doing so, not a very long trip, and in verse 33, the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. So, here's them going on a ship across the Sea of Galilee, and here's the land, here's the ship out here, and the people, he's been healing them nonstop. Remember he said the miracles of his recorded books could not hold them. He's recording. He's busy continuously healing and doing over and over and over and over. And the crowd keeps coming and coming. The crowd is running, moving quickly across the sea, across the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. They're running over to Bethsaida where he's going to go. So they're waiting there. They ran. Ship didn't, they didn't row that fast. And there they get there, and they go to pull in the ship to shore. There's the crowd that he left back over here. Only it's multiplied many, many, many. You'll remember the accounting of when George Whitefield spoke in Middletown. And we did that 100 years ago. When George Whitefield spoke in Middletown, and he was coming through, and the word got out, Cromwell, Wethersfield, up there, Rocky Hill, all of them, word got out, and the people left whatever they were doing, cooking, farming, they stopped what they were doing and ran to get to Middletown to hear George Whitefield, to hear him. They all were coming. Big crowd ran to hear him. Now, here they are running. They're running to get to the Lord. Remember now, John the Baptist has died. They've taken his head, Herod. And thus, John the Baptist has died. They have just got through accusing the Lord Jesus Christ of being Beelzebub, Lord of the dung. They just got through. And now, and these people just came back from their assignment out there, and they're tired, they need to rest, they're going across over to Bethsaida to rest, they need rest. And they haven't eaten. They need rest and they haven't eaten. So now, if I can, and in verse 34, Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. So as he got off, there they're waiting, and he picked up right where he left off in communicating the kingdom of God and teaching them many things that they needed to know. The sheep needed to have a shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd. So, having understanding, John the Baptist has been killed. The Herod up there is after, isn't, he's, the Lord is busy now getting, they're after him full force. He's going to spend his time now teaching his disciples. So he's going to get them aside in Bethsaida to teach them. That's what he's going to do. Keep that in mind, if you would. So they're following him as we shared together, and they're waiting, the crowd's waiting to receive him as they get there. And he's going to teach them the kingdom of God, and he's healing them. And you have to re-understand, he's busy. Here's the people coming, and one after another, they're healed. Hundreds of them. We have no idea. Hundreds of them, though. Because there's going to be 15,000 of them he's going to feed. So you know there's hundreds of people. And he's just doing it like this. Miracles. Wow, boy, everyone, listen, it was the thing to do to come. And they followed him, understandably. So now, in verse 34, remember, they said, as sheep having no shepherd to teach them. And in verse 35, and when the day was far spent, evening time, came time, the end of the day, day was far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and uninhabited, and they're on grass, remember, and the time is far spent, it's evening time, it's time to quit, getting dark, and to boot, verse 36, and sent them away, and that they may go into the country round about. They're going to have to go somewhere. All these people, where am I going to go? All these people. And round about into the villages and buy themselves bread. In other words, tell them to spend their lunch money and go get something. And for they have nothing to eat. They have nothing to eat. They're there. They ran. They didn't pack a lunch. They're there and there's no place to eat. There's no McDonald's. There's nothing there. I mean, these people are all hungry. They've been there all day. All day. Wow. So they're hungry. And there's nothing to eat. Verse 37. He answered, the Lord Jesus said unto them, give ye them to eat. And the word give ye emphasizes you yourselves. You, say it this way, you guys give them something to eat. You guys, go do it. Go give them something. Go give them something. What? And now, their response. Verse 37. They say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? It's a rhetorical question. That means the answer. Shall we? We shall not. It is impossible. What you're asking of us is absolutely dumb. Dumb. We couldn't possibly get them. Look at the crowd. Look at everything. Look at where we're at. There's no restaurants. There's nothing here. The question. We aren't going to do that. We aren't going to do that at all. No. No. And verse 38. And he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. Now the only way they got that is from Andrew, as you're going to see in a minute. Now, in the process of all of that, here they're going to begin to teach and send them away that they may buy for themselves and take and get what they need. Now, and there's nothing to eat as we share together. Verse 37, give them, and we share 200 penny worth of bread, and a penny worth, remember, is a denarius, a day's wage. That's what you'd get in a day if you worked. And in order to catch that, over if you would, hold your finger here, to Matthew and chapter 20. Now the only way they got this was from Philip, see. Philip and Andrew contributed to the two things the 12 were saying. Chapter 20 and in verse 2. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny, that's the word denarius, a penny, pennyworth, denarius, a penny. And in John it's plural. Denarius, a penny. A penny a day. They're going to get a penny a day. He sent them into his vineyard. He's paying them a penny, a denarius, a day's wage. A day's wage. And that is, comes out to a penny a day, 200 days of labor. 8 months, almost a year, going on a year's worth of work. It is used in the day of Tiberius, when he was elected emperor, was chosen to be emperor. And when he entered in, one of his legions, was all upset because of the poor pay they got. And they had a whole lot of resolutions and stuff that they asked for, one of which is to raise their pay. This is the Roman legion. To raise their pay to a penny a day. They wanted to get up to a penny a day, a day's wage. They wanted a day's wage, penny a day. A whole, what a guy got for normally for working a full day. And thus, so now having, we'll come back to that, and thus in the process, so they have how many loaves? Well, they have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's what they're going to have. And they're upon green grass. You'll notice that, verse 39. He commanded them to sit down by companies upon the green grass, to sit down by companies upon the green grass. And by ranks, by company. That means a border, a plot, extreme edges of something. It's used of gardens, a field. And it has a rectangle, and you'll see them in different parts of the country where they're it's very beautiful. Everything is, go down Pennsylvania or something, and they're all marked out. Squares out there. Wow. That's the word. I want them to sit down on this grassy, he's up in the hill, looking down. I want them to sit down on the grass. By hundreds and by fifties. By hundreds, I mean, and by the way, to sit down, they're going to have to make sit down by 50s, it means like you're going to have dinner for a group and you sit down at the table. Now you're going to sit down in this big grassy open field where no one out there, uninhabited, 15,000 people or more, whatever, are going to sit down and they're going to be in little blocks of 100 people, blocks of 50 people. So as you look at them, it's all orderly. The whole thing is in order as you look at the field. Wow. You had them all sit down in order. And they had a line up by family, I suppose, and friends, and they lined up in their groups. Now, in the process of doing that, if I can, over to John now. John and chapter 6. And remember now, there's about, from John the Baptist until now, chapter 7, in the Gospel of John, chapter 7. Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 1. There's about 6 months left before the crucifixion. And when you go to John 6, you're talking a year from what you're looking at now is the crucifixion. So you can see it. His ministry is rounding up, going a year left now. So in John chapter 6, John is going to fill it in, and he has a wonderful purpose in it all, as all of it, everyone had a given purpose. And so here I'm going to pick up in John chapter 6, and we left off in verse 24, 6 and 4. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. It means April. That's why you got green grass. And it's a clue, because he is the bread of life. He's going to tell them. He's going to give them a miracle, a wondrous miracle, and then he's going to demonstrate who he is. The miracle you can't miss. No one misses it. You can't refute it. 15,000 or so people had their stomach full. There's no way. No way to say it didn't happen. It happened. You bet it did. You bet it did. Now, hang on. If I can. Verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip. Now, remember, Philip is chosen. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? So Philip is asked the question, when, where, whence, where, from where, what place, Whence, Philip, shall we buy bread? We buy, not they buy, where we buy bread, for the, that these may eat. These may eat. We want to know, they're hungry, they have no food, and it's all at the end of the day, and boy, there's nowhere to go. So where are we going to get food, Philip, to feed them? Where are we going to give them food? From whence, that they may eat? So now, and remember it's light, nighttime, etc., and the conditions are terrible for that, to solve the problem. How do you solve the problem? You can't. It's impossible. That's the whole point. Verse 6. And he said, why did he say it? To prove him. For he himself knew what he would do. 6:6. He did that to put him to the test. Present tense, he was proving him. Put him on trial. Put him to the proof. He was putting him to the proof. Philip, you want Philip? Philip is the fifth. When you list the 12, Philip is number 5 on the list. He's not on top. His home is Bethsaida. Andrew and Peter, their home is Bethsaida. They are in. This is where they were raised. This is their home now. And so when he asked Philip, and Philip, he's going to test Philip. And you're going to test Philip. And Philip is the first one, is the first disciple that Jesus Christ personally asked to be his disciple. He's the first one. Hold your finger here. Over to chapter 1. And chapter 1, verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. He saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and in the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Come and see. We have found. Philip said, we have found the promised Messiah. Come and see. As Moses wrote, here he is. All right. Now, that's Philip. Now, the Lord's going to test him. Test him. And Philip, we're going to find out. Philip, well, he's a very sincere, humble. He isn't super-duper Superman. He's just an ordinary guy, a humbled guy. And he's there. And he's, God's going to test him. Now, Philip, didn't you say that Moses, that I'm the one promised by Moses? Didn't you say that? And what do you know about Moses? Well, Moses took the people of Israel into the wilderness, and he, by way of God, fed them 40 years with manna, the bread of heaven. Now, Philip, do you remember that? You know that. Philip, I do. Now, I'm going to test you, Philip. Do you remember what you said to Nathanael about Moses? I want to see how much you're going to put this together. Do you know lots of times people read things, they can't put together what's between the lines. They're very good at reading and factually say A, B, C, 2, 3, 4. They can't read between the lines. They never get the movement. They never get it. Wonderful exposition, no understanding. That's where God comes in. Now, so, here they are. And in the process, they're going to come, and Philip is going to be put to the test, and you know that you could take time to read in Hebrews and that Israel Moses and Israel tested God, put God to the test to see if he could feed them, to see if God could take care of them. Can God take care of us for 40 years? And he did. And they, boy, did they put it to God. So God put it by way of our Lord to Philip. Philip, do you understand what you said about Moses and the circumstances? Now, so in very important, verse 6, he himself knew what he would do. There was no emergency, no problem. That's a key. You want to memorize the verse? Memorize that. He knew what he would do. Here's your problem. Here's your problem. Here's your conditions. Here they are. And what do we do? What do we do? And God says, what are you going to do? And him, what, hang on to that. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? But all the time, God knew what he's going to do. At all the time, God knew what he was going to do. Isn't that great? He knew what he was going to do. God, you got to do this. And you got to do that. And all the time, God knew exactly what he was going to do. Wow. No emergency, no panic. Now, hang on to that. And if I can. And he's going to say, let me go a little bit further here. And verse 7, and Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And there's where the 200 pennyworth came from. Where did the 12 learn that figure? From Philip. Philip had said, hey, if we had that much money, 200 pennyworth of bread, a day, 200 days wages, we have nothing. If we had 200 days wages, wow. We don't have that. And he made a wild guess. Here's all these people. He said, there's no way to feed them. No way. No way. It's too big. You're asking too much of us. How can we possibly feed them? Anyway, that's where the 200 penny worth of bread came from. And if they got a little, they'd get a little. That's all. Verse 8. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him. Now here's Andrew. Andrew's going to come along. There is a lad here, a little boy, emphasis little, small, insignificant, small, insignificant. There's a little boy that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small, little fishes. Little boy with little fishes. That's the emphasis. But what are they among so many? So here's Philip saying, the problem's too big. And here's Andrew saying, we're too small. We're too small. The problem, Philip, is too big. Andrew, we're too small. We're too small to handle this. Ah, both of you guys need some help. Aha, and God's going to give it to them. Now, so in the light of that, and that's, remember now, verse 9, 5 loaves and 5 barley loaves, barley is the cheapest grain. It's the food for the peasants, the poor, and animals. Because that's what they lived off of. They didn't have wheat. Wheat was expensive. They lived off barley. And they had that. And they had the fishes. And you want to know a little bit about the 2 little fishes. What do they do with fishes like that? Well, they had these little wafers loaves of bread. And they would put something on it. Don't you like something on a piece of bread? Butter, jelly, something? Well, they had little fishes. And they made a relish that they carried. When they took their lunch, they'd take their loaf, and they would spread the relish they'd made with the fish, little fishes, and they'd spread it over and eat their lunch. That's what they do. And so here are these five barley loaves and two small fishes. And what are they among so many? Now what did the Lord tell elsewhere in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 18? Bring me the five barley loaves and the two fishes. Bring them to me. That's what I want you to do. And so Philip missed the point. Too big. And Philip said, with the amount, it's impossible, and that's all there is to it, and there's nothing more to say. And when it comes to Andrew, Andrew looks and he says, listen, the little lad and the little fishes are there. And by the way, Andrew took, Andrew didn't take the fish. The little boy came with a fish and a biscuit, his lunch. Little boy came with his lunch. And the Lord took his lunch. The Lord took his lunch. The little boy with lunch. And God took his lunch. He took his lunch. He said, give me your lunch. And if I can, in verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. And there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down in number about 5,000. So we got about 5,000 men, plus, if you look at the end of Matthew, women and children. So you got all the men and all the women and all the children, and they're busy. They've been healed and healed and helped and spoken to and healed. And boy, but it's night. It's time to quit. Getting dark now. And they haven't eaten. And the Lord is going to invite them. He told them to get them something to eat. And the Lord said, by the way, you tell all of those people to sit down. I invite them for supper. I invite them for supper. I invite them. And wouldn't you look? He's going to invite them to have dinner. No, it's like all of us going to your house today and sit down and say, we're going to eat at your house, you know, whatever your table is for. Wow. Wow. So here they are. They're there. And the number is 5,000. Verse 11. And in verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise to the fishes as they would. So God sat down. Now they remember now, it isn't a snack. God isn't going to give them a snack. And God isn't going to go and give them a sample. You know, been in places, stores or such, where they have a little stand. And if you go to the right store at the right time, you can get lunch. You know, just go to each stand in order that you'd like, and you get your lunch. Okay. And here they are. God didn't do that. God doesn't do that. We do that. But God doesn't work that way. Wonderfully, God doesn't work that way. Now, so in the process, he distributed to them, they're all sitting down, and the 12 are the ones delivering all this, and they delivered in a hand basket made of twigs or cuttings, and the hand baskets are what they carry. The 4,000 is a different basket. When he feeds the 4,000, that's something else. But these are the little baskets the disciples would have. They would have these baskets. They carry this stuff. Little basket, little hand basket. That's what they had. They had 12 baskets. Just have to think of all those people. Think of the line. You'd have to wait to get served. How long? Wow. But it was fast. And in the process... they went and they served him. So what did God gave thanks? Gave thanks to God. Look to God. God, you have to be in this. And he gave him the five loaves and two fishes. And then he went and broke them up into pieces and put them in the hand baskets. That's what he did. So in the process, God, and you know in the whole, a law, a mathematical, The the whole of something is greater than a part. The whole is greater than a piece. That's the law. Now, having said that, but, and we've shared it before, you have to understand, the mathematics of heaven are quite different. The way to handle things are quite different in heaven than how we do. And we get hung up with our ways and do how we do and how we do, because we're limited right down here, right in here. God doesn't work that way, but we do. We do. Stars that cannot be numbered. Billions of galaxies. You'll never number them. Sand of the sea. You could never. 70% of the world is water and sand. Sand. You'll never count them. You'll never count any of it. Never. God, you aren't stingy. No. In fact, he went and broke and put the bread and the little fishes in the basket. And they went and took out, they subtracted, and as they subtracted from each basket, as it went up and down, this group of people, as it went up and down, it subtracted, and it multiplied. So the more you took, the basket was always full. You took it out of the basket, and the basket was full. You went to the next person, and you could take what you wanted. You could have taken, like me, you know, put your lap out, robe, and dumped the whole thing. You could have gone and dumped the whole thing. All the fish and the biscuits, you would have had one big full tummy. And the basket was full. Full. Now, hang on to that. And so the subtraction made for multiplication. The division made for addition. And the fractions were larger than the whole. The fractions were bigger than the whole thing. Wow. God, you did that. He did. I did. And so now, having said that, I'll read verse 11 again. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. They could have whatever they told you that. They have whatever they want. Have the whole basket. Wow. And, verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. I want you to gather up the fragments, the broken pieces that are left in the baskets. I don't want anything lost. I want nothing missing. All that I make, has a wonderful purpose to it. And I want you to know, Peter, James, and John, I don't want one little morsel of bread or a fish lost. Not one. I don't lost. The word lost, perish. Go over with me, please, in your Bible to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and in verse 39. All that the verse 39. This is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Lose. I don't want to lose one particle of food. I'm not going to lose one believer. Not one believer. And Judas, I will lose. But he isn't a believer. He was a disciple. But he was not a believer. He had no relationship to me. Now, if you would, and chapter 10. John chapter 10. picking up if I can. Again, John 10 and verse 28. I give unto them eternal life, said the Lord Jesus. They shall never perish. And there's your word lost. I don't want to lose one morsel. Not one. Well, I don't want to lose one. Not one little fishy. Not one piece. I don't want to lose anything. I give, verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I don't want to lose any. Do you understand? I am the bread of life. If you eat of me, and I have a unique relationship to you, that's for good. That's permanent. Do you understand that? I don't lose any of it. I can give it all away, and I still have it all. I lose absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. Wow. Now, so, having said that, and thus over to chapter 6, verse 13. And therefore they gathered, because he didn't want to lose anything, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. In other words, when you're all done feeding all those people, when it's all done, you still have 12 baskets full. All you had originally was 5 loaves and 2 fishes, little fishes. That's all you had. Did you learn anything, guys? And God repeats Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I don't want to miss this one. Everyone get this one. I want it recorded on every occasion, actually 6 times, repeated anyway. And in the process, so the only explanation for this is that the Lord Jesus Christ, as perfect man, gave thanks to God the Father. And as perfect man, he trusted God in a perfect way. So John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, may I pick up, please, in verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. I want you to understand, said the Lord Jesus, this perfect man. I went and I took 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, and I gave them to my Father with thanksgiving. And then I went in the light of my Father, in the light of his wonderful power and glory and honor. I went and did what God the Father would do, and he did do it. I went and broke them in my little human hands as perfect man. I do nothing of myself. I went and broke up all that bread, and God the Father, to whom I gave thanks, made it. Feed 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, God knows, and there was a whole full basket left over. God did that. You see, guys, you have an assignment. Go buy and sell. Go and give them meat. We can't. It's too big. Andrew, we're too small. But God isn't. God isn't. Now what do? God didn't ask for 10 loaves and 20 fishes. God takes us whatever we have, and without going through the sequence which you know. Samson did not have, as far as we know, a sword. He did not have a slingshot like David. David had a slingshot. Samson was just Samson. And he took the jawbone of an ass. God just wants what you have. That's your part. Your part is to give him where you're at. And then to trust him. Our Lord Jesus Christ, perfect man, showed you how. And he fed all those people. He just did it. Nothing to it. Huge, you bet. There isn't anything. If it's in God's will, and that's what you want, you give him. What do we have to give him? Like the Indian. They all were giving their offerings for a special occasion on this day to celebrate Thanksgiving to God, and like everyone had something to put in, and this guy didn't have anything to put in. So he gave himself. He gave himself. What do I have to give God? Nothing. I can give him my heart. That I can give him. And God will do a wonderful, wonderful work in the heart. Wonderful work. No, God, it's not my adequacy. You know, it's yours. It's not my understanding and will. It's yours. God, how you do and what you do. God, it's yours. All I can say is thank you. Thank you, God. Here's my circumstance. Here's my problem. Here's my heartache, my headache. God, thank you. Thank you. I can do that. And you know, they all were satisfied. You would think if you were one of those people, you would have got all excited about believing the Lord. If you've been healed and fed, wouldn't you? But you know, they didn't. In a little while, a year from now, approximately, they're going to crucify him. They're crazy. They're crazy. No, they aren't. They're just humans. And they want signs and wonders and miracles, but they don't want God to be God, to be their personal God in a most personal way, in a most personal heart that's yours. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you. Thank you very, very much for all that you are and all that you do, God. We owe you. We owe you. We always owe you. Thanksgiving, God. Thank you very, very much. And for those who know not as you, the Lord as their Savior, God, deal, convict them, that they might receive him as their Lord and Savior. For we who name your name and call upon you and rest upon your wonderful person and presence, God, would you help us to learn? We want to learn from Philip. No matter how big anything is, it's never too big. And no matter how small we seem and inadequate, unable, powerless, helpless. But God, then there's you. And all of that dissipates, disappears. And you are more than enough. God, thank you. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. Perhaps we could sing, please, a stanza. 564. Let's stand together as we sing. Trust you got a little bit. First and last stanza.